Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia Jr. Thank you, as always, for joining us. And with me is the ever effervescent and energetic
and courageous,
overall amazing and courageous. Yes, Jennifer Wollman. Hi, Jennifer. Say hi.
Hello. Hi. Oh, I didn't follow instructions. Hi.
So you mentioned courage.
Yes.
And we have done this really interesting thing since we started the podcast, which is we have this kindergarten reading series. And I want to invite all the boys and girls who are listening, all the humans from around the world, pull up a chair and listen as we discuss a book written by Susan Verdi called I Am Courage.
A book of resilience.
A book of resilience. Perfect timing, Jennifer. A book of resilience. I like that we've been doing this, and I like out of left field ideas that are connected, because I think so many things in life are interconnected. And I think it's great that we get to dive into some of these things. And a lot of it for you guys that are listening is grows out of this idea that everything that I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten, right? And so Jennifer and I are big believers in that. And because she is an amazing grandmother, I know that she is totally engulfed in the world of kids' books at this stage. I think it's wonderful. So how do we go about this?
So, confession, the reason I have these books is not because I'm a grandma.
Really?
It's because I believe in simple messaging and keep it simple, stupid. And wow, this keeps my attention. And so I find real estate applicable in just about every children's book. And this is a lot easier reading than some of the like big, heavy books.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wish I could say it was because of my grandkids, but
well, you really,
that story.
You really didn't have to tell anybody. We would have just, you know, assumed, right? You didn't have to disclose that you're walking in a bookstore. Let's say we're back in 1990 and you're actually buying it from a bookstore. But you probably are.
I did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're walking in a bookstore.
Books and books.
Books. Oh, I love books and books.
I know,
that's so great. All right. So let's dive into the book. Do you want to?
Okay.
So, read it. How do you want to go through with it?
So we've spent all month talking about how to get rid of scary, right? It's October, scary month. We do these podcasts, these episodes all the time. And so sometimes we try to stick with the theme. Usually we don't. But this month, it's kind of been scary, you know, from busting real estate myths to talking to attorneys to trying to avoid, you know, scary issues that might come up during a transaction. And the reason I thought of this book is because we always talk about fear and how fear holds us back and fear sells. And I think we mentioned in our C5 CCIM episode when we were doing a recap that we're addicted to fear. That was Gunnar Branson who said, we're addicted to fear. We know that fear sells and everything else. So I thought instead of talking about fear, let's talk how to address fear. And so I find strong messages in children's stories, and the message on the front of this flap just really, really resonated with me. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, when we picture someone brave, we might think they're fearless, but real courage comes from feeling scared and facing what challenges us anyway. When our minds tell us I can't, we can look inside ourselves and find the strength to say, yes, I can. And to me, this resonated so much because I've told this story before, but when I first wanted to get into investing, I had already been involved in real estate for, I want to say, about 10 years. And I can't remember if I was already an LP in a syndication deal. I don't think I was. I think my husband and I were trying to do this on our own. And God bless my husband, Carlos. He's always supportive and he's way more fearless than I am. And you know, I let fear get the better of me. I imagined us living under I-95 and me bankrupting us. And, you know, I was like, it was ridiculous. There was no rational explanation for what I was doing. And I got out of a house that we had bought at the height of the recession in Coral Gables, beautiful area. We got it we were under contract for $250, I think, maybe $240. I probably could have gotten it for about $210 after inspections because it showed some pretty big things. I mean, there were subterranean termites, which are scary in and of themselves. So, you know, I lost that deal and I was getting ready to lose another deal when I finally did the phone a friend. And this book, just in very simple ways, tells us how to dig deep and find the courage to get through that. And this year has been a super challenging year for a lot of people. Period.
Right.
Whether it's in real estate or not, whether it's the economy, high interest rates, the geopolitical landscapes, the horrible weather, you know, we've had fires, floods, hurricanes, and all of those things and the uncertainty cause uncertainty, fear, and desperation. And, you know, there was another book that we did this on, which was, Oh, the Places You'll Go. And they talk about the waiting room. And I think a lot of people get stuck in the waiting room because of fear. Right.
Yeah.
And you can't, how do you get unstuck? How do you find the courage to get out? So this book talks about digging deep into your courage, trusting your gut, accepting the challenge, and finding the strength to go on.
We wear so many hats in our day-to-day life and in our professional life as well. And a lot of times when we're processing information, you and I mean, you know, we're thinking about, obviously, our families, the people that we know, the people that we care about, our friends, our, you know, our colleagues. We also always are thinking about the consumer, and we're thinking also about the broker, right? And helping the broker help the consumer. And so I'm always trying to draw lessons from something as simple as this. And if I may read just a couple of the sections, right? It's really at the start of the book, but it'll lead to a question that I have for you. This is the beginning of the book. When there are challenges in front of me, when I feel unstable, like I might fall, and I think about turning back or giving up, when my mind tells me I can't, I look inside myself and find the strength that lives deep down. And I tell my mind, yes, I can. I have faith in what's possible. I accept the challenge and keep on going. And this is where it's the first thing, because where do people draw the faith in what's possible? It's such an optimistic phraseology, right? Mm-hmm. I have faith in what's possible. I accept the challenge and keep on going. And of course, there's an illustration of this child who is in a bike about to cross a bridge, but we don't know where that bridge leads to, right?
And it's dark.
And it's dark and it is scary. But I wanted to ask you that, you know, where do people really find the faith in what's possible? Because oftentimes, as you mentioned, fear is predominant in our daily lives, right? So it really is as simple as it is stated, it is a deep question about having faith in what's possible.
Well, and I think finding that faith takes different forms. There was a game show, I can't remember what it was, but they would throw out lifelines, like if you didn't know the question. It was phone a friend, I can't remember what, I can't remember what. So guess what my faith is and how I find it.
The millionaire...
I have no idea. I just remember. I mean, I didn't watch the show.
Jessica, what was that show?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
And what were the three things?
Oh, it was 50-50. So they will take 50% of the questions out. It was Ask the Audience.
Okay, right? And phone
and
a friend.
Phone a friend.
Well, I remembered phone a friend. So that's how I dig deep. In the situation that I told you about the house when I was getting ready to pull out of our second investment, and I was kicking myself because I knew. My brain knew what was going on. Yeah. My brain knew that I had done the research, that it was a great buy, that it was a great location. I'd done all blah, 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 done everything right, but... And my gut was telling me it was good. And my brain was like, run away, run away. You're going to bankrupt your family, you know. And so I trusted in my gut, but I knew that I needed help getting out of my brain. And I found a friend who had the money to bail me out so that I wouldn't live under I-95, even though that was never a possibility because I was only going to be on the hook for the down payment. Like, it was so ridiculous. And so I found a friend. And I think that's what's so great about, so wherever you find faith, it can be in your church, it can be in your family, it can be in your friends, it could be in people you know in the industry. And that's why I love this women in real estate group that Beth created, because the theory and the philosophy there, and it was actually based on a conversation that she and I had about fear, because Beth had a similar experience when she was starting her investment, her own personal investments, even though she had been in the industry and been killing it as a landlord and tenant rep for a gazillion years and knew the markets, and the fear got in and she lost a deal. So we were talking about that. And so, like, in this case, she created this event for women who want to invest but have fear to have the support group that they need to get beyond that and to help build courage. So I don't know if that answered your question. How about you?
You know, what I find really interesting here is that faith in what's possible, it's, I think, something that permeates through every entrepreneur. You start on a journey having faith in the possibility. The phraseology here is incredibly, you know, smart, because it's not I have faith that everything is going to be okay.
Right.
It's not I have faith that, you know, we'll figure it out. It's not, it's having faith in that there is a possibility out there that draws us to cross that bridge in the dark. Right. Mm-hmm. And the following sentence, I accept the challenge and keep on going. And it's that idea of you have faith in the good things that you can create and the possibilities of this endeavor, right? And but you have no guarantee. And we both live in the fact that we predominantly focus on the fear, and right, and the negativity, and not only what gets fed at us, but the things that we worry about. But at the same time, there's something that gets you up every morning to say, I'm going to go attack that. I have no idea how it's going to work out. But I love this sentence of I accept the challenge, right? And so, you know, like you mentioned at the beginning, and this is something that everyone has heard, courage is not the absence of fear, is what you do in spite of it, right? And so I love that idea of I'm just going to keep going. And we've seen, and we've done shows, podcast episodes where we've discussed this, you know, sometimes all you got to do is just keep going, keep working. And all of a sudden things begin to turn around, whether it's in your business, in your personal life, in your career. And the choices that you make have to be informed, I think, by having that faith in the possible.
I agree. And look at what we did, right? Look at the big jump that we took, a year and a half ago, and left what we were doing, changed it up, and it was because of what's possible.
Right.
Yeah. We were scared. We were nervous. We were unsure. We don't know exactly what the outcome's going to look like. Yeah. But we believed in the possibility of what could be. So we took that jump. Right.
Right.
And, you know, again, we've stated before, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think courage also gives you that. And so
another lesson that I thought was really interesting is as you read the story, there's a sentence, and this is something I want, that I think it's important. It's I can trust what my gut is telling me. Mm-hmm. Now, there's so many ways to break this down, right? Because it's interesting. How do you know if you have if your gut has the right instinct, you know, like what you instinctively feel like, my gut is telling me this is going to be good or this is going to be bad. But there is an evolution in which you have to trust your gut. And when I read this, what I thought about was, oftentimes, especially when people enter a new industry, or let's say there's a new agent that is coming in, right, to the industry, it's very simple to begin to look at the process, right, to be bigger than what it is, meaning that obviously every industry has their own jargon, they have their own procedures, they have their own, you know, laws that they have to follow, their regulations, all those things. Sometimes we overcomplicate that situation. And at the end of the day, the agent is always working with another human being, mm-hmm. right? And when you're working with a client and a human being, there are certain things that you viscerally feel in your gut. This doesn't feel right. And then some of those agents will come back to us and say, well, what does the law say? How do I handle this? And how do I address this? And I think that you begin to kind of give way of relying on your gut. I think that that part should never be removed. You could call it God, you could call it common sense, you could instinct. Call it a spidey yeah. sense, your yeah. instinct, whatever it is, but there is something there that, you know, I think you have to endeavor to develop and to continue to test so that you can continue to trust it.
I agree, and I always tell my kids that when they're not sure, I'm like, yeah. look, write it down. Write down everything that's in yeah. your brain, because there's two parts of fear and there's two parts of courage, right? To me, there's mm-hmm. gut or heart and head. And right. head is where the crazy is, right? Head, yeah. The brain is crazy. Yeah. It's a wild horse. They have that yeah. saying in Spanish. Yeah. It's
well, I'm finally...
Un caballo salvaje. You need to yeah, rein it
after
in.
After 80 right? episodes, you admit that there's something crazy going on in the head of yes. yours, but thank you.
Yes,
thank
and
you.
I do have my horsey too, so my horsey son. But yeah, so I always tell them, write everything down. That's your yeah. head part. Get everything mm-hmm. down on paper, pros, cons, what scares you, research you've done, etc. Get it all down in paper, look at it, read it, and then go into a quiet space.
Yeah.
Sit with your feet planted on the ground. Take 3 deep breaths and then just focus on your gut and your feeling and silence your head and ask yourself questions.
Boy, that's tough.
It is, but it works. I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
But how do you, and I'm sorry.
So I ask questions. I'll be like, my first question is this fear real or am I making it up?
Right. I'm writing this down.
Is this fear real or am I making it up? What am I really afraid of? And because if you're honest with yourself, half the time, or I don't know if it's half the time or whatever, I haven't done the math because that's cerebral, you're afraid of succeeding or you're afraid of failure. And so then if you look at either your success or your failure in a different way, that might be all you need to get through it. Another question I ask is, if I don't do this, how am I going to feel? And again, it could be I'm going to feel great because what a relief. It's off my shoulders. You know, I'm like, it didn't feel good. Or it's going to be like, I'm going to feel horrible. I'm going to feel like I lost an opportunity. And then those lead. But those are my three, you know me, three. Three is about all I can handle.
Those are
my three main questions. And then depending on how my gut reaction, you have to be really in tune to your gut reaction. How does it?
Jessica, I need you to block out 1 hour on my schedule this afternoon. I got to ask myself 3 important questions later on. Jessica says, just an hour. Well, that's wonderful. I appreciate that because, you know, sometimes, you know, it's easy to just to say, well, you could go with your gut, but it's like the quieting of the mind mm-hmm. and it really, and you're right, that, you know, the heart, the mind, sometimes they're not all in concert. And so, you know, it's really interesting. You know, I thought that was great. Thank you. Those are 3 great questions and I will be
using it. You really did write them down.
I did, guys. I did. The other thing, and you kind of alluded to it already, but I thought was a third big lesson in the story is I can lean on those around me. Mm-hmm. I am not afraid to ask for support. And mm-hmm. that I thought was incredibly powerful as well, because, you know, oftentimes when we have this discussion about our business, we say it's impossible for you to know everything about everything. And when you're in commercial real estate, because you have multiple asset classes, there's so many ways to become a hyper, hyper expert on every little thing. You know, we just did a podcast where I mentioned in the C5 conference about this logistics expert and, you know, how drilled down that information is, which is infinitely interesting. But the reality is that unless that's all you're going to focus on, you'll never develop that exact expertise. But when your clients come to you, they come to you because they need, you know, they trust you, right? They want your guidance. And so it's more important not to be the person that knows everything, because that's not possible, than to be the one who knows where to go for the right answers, right? And so I think support, and I know in the case of the book, they're talking about supporting you in being courageous, right? Mm-hmm. But I think support is incredibly impactful. I know the story, and you've told the story before about that investment that you mm-hmm. made. And I know that you may not have needed it from a logical perspective that, okay, I know I really need this, or you didn't need for that person to sign a contract or for to give you this guarantee or to put.
He didn't even know what you were asking.
Correct. You just ask him, you know, will you take care of me?
Will you be there for me if I screw up?
That by itself created that. And then everything that you mentioned about Beth and what she has created has been a support group in every instance, whether it's the independent retailer awards, you know, where now all these independent retailers are getting to know each other. They support each other. She brings in all of the brokerage community, or it is the book club, or it is the investment, the women investment, you know, conference. I think all of those things are that layer of support where we've had the honor of being on stage in different things. Like, I've always felt that I'm not alone, because the support has been there from the beginning. So I think that is a great lesson in the book, is that you don't have to be courageous by yourself. Sometimes that courage is fed by the people that you have surrounding you, which is why it's important to choose the right people, right?
Agreed. And at the end of the book, the author's note states, she does, you know, author's note, and she teaches breathing and yoga poses, etc. But it says, although what scares us may be different, fear is something we all feel, and we don't need to hide it. It's okay to talk about fear. This is my favorite part. Fear is a place for opportunity and growth. Fear is a place for opportunity and growth. Mm-hmm. So as anybody listening starts planning for 2025.
So it's like the obstacle is the way.
Exactly.
And all the same themes that we have discussed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so as you start planning for 2025, think about what you're scared of, how much further you could grow in 2025 if you face that fear. Come up with a plan, including who your support group's going to be, to help get you through or over your fear. Because right now, and this is, I'm taking this quote directly from Spencer Levy, who we spoke about in a previous episode regarding his presentation with Gunnar at C5. And he said, right now, if you have the courage, there is an intergenerational shift in wealth and tons of opportunity in real estate before capital markets come back. And if we're afraid that there is no capital, that there is no this, blah, 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 we're going to miss that opportunity. So
I didn't even know there was a whole yoga how to at the end of the book. Have you done these, the fierce pose?
Yes, I call it chair pose, but yes, the fierce pose.
What do you call it?
Chair pose.
It's also known
as chair pose.
And warrior three pose?
Yes, I do warrior three, one and two.
How about lion's breath?
Yes.
Oof. As long as I don't have to, yeah. I was going to say, as long as it's not what it smells like.
It is exactly what it sounds like. And you get a room full of 25 people doing that. And,
oh my goodness. But I agree. I think we've always said it. It's in times of uncertainty that you have the most opportunity. We've seen that play out in so many different ways. You know, and if you study the economic history of the United States, you will find that, you know, most generational wealth is built during times of uncertainty, and that's where the opportunity lies. I thought there was a fourth, you know, main theme or lesson in the book. And there are many. And of course, as it is with books, which is why we love reading, it means different things to different people, right? Because reading is a very interactive journey, right? Because the person reading becomes part of the story, right? And becomes part of the interpretation. But and there's a sentence that says, when I feel uncertain and start to lose my balance, I find my center and gather my strength. And that's another really interesting component. And I think that we like the rule of threes, and I love all your three questions. And I think part of this is part of the three questions that you mentioned. It's really about that. It's about finding your center, you know, because I'm about to be 50 in December. And I was contemplating how different life is than it was when I was a child, right? And I was thinking, like, I feel that because of all the technological advancements, especially in communications, the internet, the interconnectivity, that there has been great opportunity, but there's also been, it's almost dizzying the amount of information that we have to consume, you know? And I find that for anybody entering any industry, that you have access to so much information that sometimes it's difficult to find your center and say, what's valuable, what's not valuable? How do I interpret this? How do I, you know, what is gonna actually bring me value and what is gonna be a total distraction?
The info is really noise, right? Correct. And if you think about our crazy brains, that's just noise. It's all the information, our brains trying to process information. Yeah. So I think to your point, that's where tech has really sped that up. We have access to more data faster than we've ever had, right? And it's getting exponentially more so, which means our brains are going to be even more like, wah.
Yeah, because you can stray from your center.
Correct.
Right? And I think that is a really interesting dynamic. What are the things that are pulling you closer to your authentic self? And what are the things that are pulling you away and creating this fray? So there are little nuggets in this short book, right? It's also beautifully illustrated. They did a nice job. But there are always these little nuggets of information. I love that we're discussing this, partly because there is, and I'm finding it more and more valuable. But I was in a conference and someone talked to me about a book called Brevity. I think that there is something to that. It is, if you cannot convey your ideas in a very simple, direct way, then they either have to be workshop more, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're missing the point. And I think that the brevity of the story, but the ramifications or the potentiality of the ideas are very powerful.
Well, the brevity of the story didn't take away from the strength of the message.
Well, it also allowed us to become part of the story, right? Because we add our own experiences and our own perspective. And I really do enjoy that. And I'm seeing that, you know, like today I was looking at a post in LinkedIn and it was super long. And I was like, wow, this is... And then I was looking at something and it was just two sentences and it was much more impactful. I digress a bit, but I do think that it is a great time to speak about courage. And I love that the title of the book is not courage, but it is I am courage, you know, as if it is an adjective, an attitude. You know, listen, I don't want to go to Books and Books while you're shopping for kids books, but I really appreciate that you do that in your spare time.
I love it. I love Books and Books. Like I have to be careful because talk about going down a rabbit hole in a bookstore.
But exactly.
So do you have a fun fact?
No.
That means no. Okay, so I'll do one. It's a little bit long, but bear with me. So according to MSCI Inc., a company that provides research-based data and tools to financial institutions, data through July showed how rough the national commercial real estate market has been, with transactions down from 5% from $203.8 billion. I throw out that number because there are signs that we are near rock bottom of the cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, during the Great Recession, my brother, who does a lot of stock investing on his own, he's like, you have to listen for certain words to know when to get back in the market. And it is obviously bottom, trough, and my favorite one is capitulation. When you start hearing capitulation, and I've been hearing more of that. So again, going back to fear is a place for opportunity and growth, and what Spencer Levy says, now is a great, great time for opportunity. Mm-hmm. So start digging and looking at where the opportunities are, and you're going to have a great fourth quarter and even better start to 2025.
And you know, in regards to opportunity, I do have a stat for you, and that it is that yesterday I got to see Ron Sheffield.
He
came by, and you know, someone that we admire and respect tremendously, a giant in the industry here in South Florida, and you know that he loves stats, and I love all his reporting, and he was saying that if you look at the transaction volume, and in this case he's talking about residential real estate, in the first 6 months of this year, look at this stat. This is why Ron is amazing. We had the lowest number of transactions than we've had in the first 6 months of the past 15 years.
Wow.
Right? So that's an impactful stat. Now, you could say, wow, things are... When you are in this industry long enough, while you're looking at that, when you hear that, you hear opportunity.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so that's just amazing. So again, thank you. Shout out to Ron. Thank you for bringing this up. It's
welcome.
A great exercise.
It was
a great exercise.
Thank you for playing.
Well, and
it
got my three questions.
Up.
I think Jessica's right. I might need an hour and a half. you know, I don't know if that's going to really help Jessica, because then I have to overthink it. And,
yeah,
you know,
no,
we don't want to
no.
overthink it. And then put it down that I got to learn yoga.
Or at least lion's breath.
There you go.
No, that's not lion's breath. That's hyperventilating, honey.
I love it. Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your support. And we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.